Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Nursery started back up today. Kids' church started back up today. Youth started back up today. Sunday school started back up. So I'm just excited to have them. You know, that was one of the tests for the children of Israel because they were wanting to leave, we want to get out of Egypt. And Pharaoh was, one of the things that Pharaoh said, we'll let you go, but we're going to keep the kids back. And they said, we will not go without the children. Amen? So we're going to take the children with us to the kingdom, right? In the kingdom. And it's good to see Doug Logan back. He's been sick. Thank you for praying. And Doug and Vicky, it's good to see you back too. You might get me afterwards, but it's good to see you guys back. And also, it's good to see that Pastor John is doing well. Some of you don't know it, but Pastor John had a heart cath this past week. And everything is great, and his heart is great. His blood flow is great. And anything else, brother? Huh? Everything's great. Everything is great. Well, that is so awesome. We've been praying for him. And one more thing is Saturday the 26th, there's some things happening at our Capitol. One with Franklin Graham is having a prayer thing. Jonathan Kahn is having a prayer thing as well. And we are going to be praying here. At the church. We'll have the church doors open basically all day. We'll give you more time frames a little bit later, but it's going to be on Saturday at September the 26th, and we're going to be praying for our nation. And Jonathan Kahn's part of his prayer time, Pierce prayer thing that he's doing is about repentance and about a new awakening for the church to understand and actually do repentance. And how many of you know you just don't repent one time? I mean, when you do it wrong, he forgives you, but he said, you got to turn from that. Repentance is being able to turn from and turn to God. Turn from what's not God, turn to what God is saying. See, that's genuine repentance in that. But we want to make sure that we participate in that, but we're going to be doing that Saturday, September the 26th, and we'll give you some more details next week. No. It'll be all day. I don't know what time it'll start, but we'll work on that. We got to get somebody to cover, somebody with the staff to cover, make sure somebody's here all the time when other people are coming in. So we hadn't done that yet, but we will. And you know that we need to be a praying people. Praying and acting. Praying and doing. Calling before God, calling out to God, and doing the things that God wants us to do. And even though we can have our own ideas, we can have our own opinions, but the Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man. But the end of it is what? See, we've got to make sure we're not doing the thing that seems right unto man. It needs to be right unto God. It's the right thing to do at the right time and be doing that and following the Spirit. Someone asked me, so how do you figure out what to do in all of this? I said, you don't. I don't know if anybody's got a plan that you can start figuring out what you need to do, but all you do is, when you can't find it in the Word, you listen to the Spirit and you follow the Spirit of God. And that's it. I think it's a true test this time for the church to be able to learn deeper how to follow the Spirit of God and how to hear His voice. And how to be quickened by Him in a way that causes us to make sure that we go in a direction because that's the direction that He's leading. Amen? Because a lot of these things you just can't figure out. You just can't, it's just not left up to man to analyze it. It's just left up to man to say, God, what do you say? And I'll go do what you say. And if we do that, we're on the right track. Is that true? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been talking about Jesus giving these gifts unto men and these ministries unto men. He says in verse 11, he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. We've been talking about that for several weeks. And to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain until we all attain the unity of the faith. That means we have arrived to that place and we're not divided. And the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. See, that's where we're headed. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We stayed on that a few weeks and go back and look at the messages and listen to the messages and you can get a greater understanding of that because we don't have time to go over that, review that. And then the last couple of weeks we've been talking about as a result. As a result of you allowing yourself to be taught by men and women of God who are hearing God and giving the direction of God very plainly, you can be equipped to be able to come to the unity together. Come to the unity of the faith and come to the unity of knowing Him. And we'll be able to do the very work that Christ has said that we are to be doing. See, the old paradigm is hire the preacher and let him do it all. You know, that's really never been biblical. Never has. You can bring the preacher, you can bring the pastor, you can bring the teachers, but they're the ones that is equipping the body to be able to do the work, of the ministry. And you guys are doing great at it. You really are. You are doing great at doing the ministry. And we're always looking for ways to improve. So he says, as a result, the first as a result, if you get that, you'll no longer be childish. Not talking about childlikeness, you'll no longer be childish. As a result of being equipped, as a result of being taught the word, as a result of you receiving what's been taught and not just being hearers but also being doers, as a result, you will begin to cease to be childish. Child always wants his way. Anybody ever wanted that? Oh, I got one honest person in this house. I got one honest person. As a result, we no longer, he says, no longer will we be children. No longer. Everybody say no longer. See, we should mature to a place that's not an option anymore. Pitching a fit is not an option anymore. If you're not from the South, you might not know what pitching a fit is, but pitching a fit. I saw one child in the middle of an aisle in Ingalls pitching a fit. Mama just rolled on. And I just walked by and that child is still pitching a fit. And then there's another person came on the aisle and looked at that baby and looked at me, and looked at that child and looked at me and I said, not mine. Not mine. So we no longer can pitch fits and it be justified. You can pitch them, but it's not God. So he says, no longer. As a result, no longer. He said, no longer. As a result, you will not be tossed by the waves. You will not be tossed here and there. We talked intensively about that, about the inability to be settled, the inability to know where you're going, to know your purpose, the inability to head in a direction, not just that you're supposed to go, but you're going to be influencing other people. No longer will you be tossed away from that. As a result, no longer be carried about by every wind of doctrine. We talked about that last week. No longer carried about, in other words, you're not even walking. Somebody is carrying you to where they say you need to go, where you need to be, and who you need to be. So he said, as a result of being equipped, as a result of being taught by godly people and hearing the truth. By the way, truth sometimes hard to hear. But it's the best thing for us. He said, but if you begin to be equipped for this and begin to come in unity and doing the work of service and attain the unity of faith and attain the unity and coming into a unity of knowing Christ of who he is, attaining the maturity that God wants us to mature in. See, a lot of people have been born again for 20 years, but they still have a pacifier. Why is that? They didn't submit and didn't yield to the people that God put in their life to grow them up. God gave them God has given us people in our lives to help us to grow up. I'm not talking about growing up physically. We had parents to help us grow up physically. But to grow up spiritually. God has given that. That's what he said he gave. Not only did he give his son for you to be born again, but he gave people, in order, the godly people, to bring you to a spiritual elevation and levels to be able to grow to become a mature person. That is what the earth is groaning to see. It says that the earth is groaning for the manifestation of whom? The sons of God. Notice it didn't say the children of God. Creation is groaning not to see the children of God. Creation is groaning to see the sons of God. That son is weos. That means the maturity of who says they're a Christian. Earth is groaning to see. All of creation is groaning to see Christians grow up. On the count of three, say amen. One, two, three. Amen. Amen. That's true. It is. It's true. It's true. But no longer will you be carried about by every wind of doctrine. In other words, you won't have any values. We talked about that last week. And we need to have a purpose. We need to be fixed on what God... Listen, there is a passage that I want to read to you it's one of my favorite passages. I got a lot of favorite passages, I really do, but one of them, and it's out of the Message Bible, and listen to what it says. And it's in Romans chapter 12. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. Did you know you had a walking around life? You're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering to him. Everything about your life, place it before God as an offering to him. Then he goes on and he says this, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Embrace what God is doing for you, and that's the best thing that you can do for him. Why? If you embrace it and it changes you, you'll be telling people about what God has done for you. Amen. And that'll be the good news for somebody else. Amen? Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Ooh. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you just fit in without even thinking about it. See that, you know what that is? That is being fitting in without thinking. That's being carried about. That's when they're carrying you. You don't even think about it. It's just like you're just going with the flow. The flow is carrying you. And he says, as a result of being equipped, you won't have that in your life. God is so great, so good to be able to give us what we need even when we don't even see what we need until it comes. And sometimes we don't even recognize it then. So we need to have that awareness to God. He goes on, he says, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. See, religion is trying to change the outside to make the inside good. Christianity, the truth of Christianity is changing on the inside, from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Unlock the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you. Brings the best out in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's his whole purpose. It's not just going to heaven. That is absolutely wonderful. Amen? But between now and then, we must be a people that are growing up to function in a society that actually hates you. In a society that is anti-God, anti-Christ. In a society that is doing things that is trying to get you to waver from your faith. We must grow to those places that I'm standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on a solid rock. And we have to remind ourselves that where are we standing? What are we doing here? You know, that's the reason it's so important. Really, I'm telling you, it's the reason it's so important to have the kids back in the house. Why is that? They need, along with the parents at home, along with whomever they're trusting to teach their children, they need the influence of the church to be able to either to give them the light that they need if they're not getting it somewhere else, but also confirm the light that they're getting from home. They need that. They need that to have that teaching, to have that growing up, and to have that place inside them that they're hearing the word and they're making a difference. It makes a difference in their life. So let's see if we can move on just a minute here. So the first evidence of spiritual growth is Christ-likeness. The second evidence of spiritual growth is stability. The third evidence of spiritual growth is truth joined with love. And the fourth evidence is cooperating with each other. Boy, the church needs to learn that. It's not about this place. It's really not. And it's not about any other place that you want to name. It's about the collective places that we have that name the name of Christ and follow Christ, cooperating together, not trying to build their own, but cooperating together to be able to fulfill the very commission that God's given us to do. I say, so no longer we care about by every wind. Now here's the next one. Or by the trickery of men. The trickery of men. This passage, this verse about the trickery of men is about frauds. This trickery is about wanting to use things and use you for their personal gain. They really don't want anything. They really don't like you. They really don't. They're just using you. And they want to be they're trying to be something that they're not, and they're trying to convince you that they are so they can use you to be able to get what they need. This trickery. And that's what he's talking about, this trickery. He goes on and says, in this word trickery, it means to take advantage, and it means to use loaded dice. Go look at it. It's in the Greek. Use loaded dice. In other words, when it's time for you to roll the dice, it's time for you to, you know, to find what number you're going to get, but when they throw it, they throw loaded dice, and it's a rigged game. So the fix is already in. I'm going to use an example that I actually did. You remember the other week when we had Miss Vicky and Jody Ann? Jody, and she, and about the bag? And they would toss nothing in the air, but I said, now throw it, and they just act like it's thrown, and the bag would pop because I would snap my fingers. Yeah. How many of you noticed that? And actually, Vicky actually used these words. It's rigged. Because every time the little child threw it, it'd go in. Every time Vicky threw it, you missed, Vicky. I got to get over here and pick it up for you. Very subtle. But see, when somebody has an intention to deceive you into believing you can't do it, that's the fraud. That's the trickery. That's the loaded dice. In other words, it's rigged in their favor. It's loaded for them to win. How many of you have ever run across the trickery of men? It's out there. It's still out there. it talks about they always have the words and the behavior that is in their favor. The words and the behavior that is in their favor. And they'll put down the words and the behavior that you have. Remember when we talked to several weeks ago about gaslighting? And how that's a reality of somebody trying to deceive you from your own true reality? It's still happening. That's the reason we talked about it. That's the reason we understood. We had to understand that this is true. This is happening to us. And we have to understand that we do not need to follow that way. And then he goes on and he says this, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Now, this is good. By the craftiness of deceitful scheming. This means to run a scam, to run a con game. It means, not only that, it means to standardize the scheme. Create a scheme and standardize it. Make it the standard. Do you know the world is doing that all the time? Do you know that some people in church do that? But that's not all of it. The other part is to legitimize error. This thing about deceitful craftiness is to legitimize error. Make it legitimate. Because you want it to be legit. Because they want it to be legit. And they will give you all the reasons why it needs to be legitimate. Why it needs to be the standard. That's the reason they said they were there. You remember when they were using the word new normal? You know, I really felt like I heard from God on the thing about the new normal. And I wasn't looking for a new normal. Because the new normal is what they're saying normal is. I'm looking for the bright future that he says I have. I may go through different things, but I'm looking for the bright future. I'm not looking for a new normal. I'm not looking for the normal that somebody else says that this is the way it has to be. This is the way it's going to be. sometimes it may have to be that way, but most of the time it's not. So, briefly, I got so much to talk about on this, but standardize a con or a scam. In other words, this is normal, guys. No, that's not normal. Let me give you, for instance, you go on a sinning rampage, and one of the things you do is to say, well, nobody's perfect. You know what you just did? You made your sinning rampage a standard. Why? Because nobody's perfect. You just legitimized error. But let's go on. 2015. Listen, 2015, same-sex marriage became law. That's not God's way. I remember telling you that we must really stand up. We must really let our voices be heard. We're the salt and we're the light. We must be heard. We must influence the people that are making decisions and not be quiet. And I remember saying, it won't stop there. I said, what you'll see coming after same-sex marriage, what you'll see coming is, because they feel like they have a right, and they push that feeling of having a right to legitimize an error, and we fall for it, then all of a sudden, same-sex marriage is great. It's a new thing. Mm-mm. It's not God's thing. Then I said, they will want the right to be a pedophile. I said, it's coming. Are you hearing me? It's not going to stop there. You will see on the horizon I have to explain to your children a little bit later, but they'll want the right for bestiality. It's coming. No, it's coming. All you have to do is take the affection that people already have for animals, just put a little bit more of emotional pull in it, and the next thing you'll know, being married to animals will be on display. It's coming. See, the voice of Christians, we've got to yell out. We've got to be stronger than this. We've got to be people that is going to be the light and be the salt. And we got to be the people that's going to say no. And listen, if you have your politicians that are for it, vote them out. Pretty simple. Vote biblical values. Homosexuality indoctrination, LGBTQ. Dismantling the nuclear family. The nuclear family is mother, father, sister, child, and the nuclear. This dismantling. That they want to be able to say, no, you don't have the right for that to tell that child what to do. We're going to tell you what to do. That's already happening. That's when it's so important to have them back in the house. Gender identity crisis. Right now, they have legally made 64 genders. I was talking with somebody yesterday, wherever there was the application, and they had five to choose from. And one of them was it. Yeah, I'm an it. Sixty-four of them now, and men and women. Not today. I'm going to be a woman. I'm going to go in the women's restroom. What is this? It's legitimizing error. It's standardizing a scheme, a con, a scam. Jesus, the Word of God is saying, "Look, get trained up by the Word of God and by the people of God, speaking the truth to you and helping you, so you, as a result, you don't fall prey to all this stuff that's coming down the pipe." All this is already happening. What else is happening, Pastor? Child sex trafficking. It's bigger than you know. Abortion. Defunding police is a breakdown of the authority structures. The rise of Marxism, the rise of socialism, the rise of communism. All of those destroy a nation. We cannot be silent. Netflix. Y'all heard about the new movie? Raise your hand if you've heard about the new movie. All right, put your hand down. Raise your hand if you have not heard about the new film. Raise your hand if you have not. Wave at me. You have not heard about it. Well, you're going to hear about it now. Just came out on the 9th of September. A controversial film called Cuties. They are sexualizing the children. We're talking about 10 and 11-year-olds. Doing some of the most vulgar moves and things that you would not even want to think about or talk about. But yet Netflix made a movie. Netflix is at the forefront, sexualizing children and normalizing pedophilia. It's happening. I'm not telling you a lie. It's happening. It's already out there. There should be an outrage coming out of the Christian world, the kingdom. An outrage. To Netflix. By the way, if you'll allow me to use this term because they used it themselves, drag queen story hour. That's what they call themselves. How many of you know about that? How many of you do not know about that? Drag queen story hour. the drag queen comes dressed up in their drag, and they read stories to the children. Parents bring their children to hear the stories from the drag queen. They say it's fun and important program that celebrates diversity in the way that children may dress and act up. It encourages children to look beyond gender stereotypes and embrace unfettered exploration of self. Vulnerable children will be carried away and introduced to homosexuality and gender indoctrination sessions. Parents are excluded on their safe sex talk. It's happening at libraries. It's happening at schools. It's happening. It's been happening since 2016. These people are eagerly seducing and grooming children right under our eyes, and we don't even know it. Drag queens insist on close contact with the people's children. This is where they're trying to dismantle the nuclear family. They want close contact, and they dismiss the parents. I'd like for them to dismiss me. You're dismissed. No, not along my child here. I'm not dismissed. If I'm dismissed, he's dismissed. She's dismissed. Number one, I ain't gonna be there to begin with. But do you hear what I'm saying? But we've got parents that said, "Oh, I gotta leave. You want?" And they're dressed up in all this. Oh, I gotta leave now. Okay, I'll be back. What time do you want me to come back? Listen, we can't. An outrage ought to be coming out of the house of God. Why? To protect the children. The children's faces, I was going to show you pictures, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's horrible. Their faces are mesmerized. As they see this person and all of this stuff, and they're hearing what they're telling them, they're mesmerized. As they watch sexual gyrations while the story is being told. Here's something about it. He said, and it turns out that the drag identifiers identify themselves with paganism, witchcraft, Satanism. They don't even try to hide it anymore. The Church of Satan says, we can confirm that a lot of our satanic drag queens, we have them, and they are fabulous. The LGBTQ identifies with them. Even holding pink masses. You know what that is? They'll get together over graves, do sexual acts over the graves in order to change the gender of the person that had died. That's not going to happen. That's what they're doing. Look, the church, we got to pull our head out of the sand. We got to get our head out of the sand. Listen, I don't like bringing this type of man, but the reality of it is so true. Then they will have black masses. That's when they get together and have curses. Curses and all that kind of stuff. The leader of the group says, we will fight conservative Christians to the death. That was their write-up, not mine. Now, my time is up, and that's not a good note to end on. Do y'all hear me? Do you hear the truth? Yes.
I was hearing you
Amen. Amen. I receive it. Amen. You know, we can no longer afford to be a comfortable people. When we get uncomfortable, that is when He sends the Holy Spirit to comfort us as we go through something that is uncomfortable. The reason He's given us Him as the comforter is to comfort us when we're going through the difficulties. Doesn't mean everything's going to be... We can no longer be a people who are dressing up for the battle like Israel. They would dress up in all the battle gear and they would beat their swords against their shields and they would yell out a war cry until... What? Until Goliath stepped out. And then when Goliath stepped out, made his defilement of God, the Bible says that they crawled back into their holes, into their caves. We can no longer be that people. We can't look for a place of safety because He is our only safety. We can't look for anything else but Him. So the question is, just like in Israel's day, a David was sent. He wasn't even sent to do battle against the giant. He was sent to serve. You know what it tells me? If you're serving, and if you've got a heart to serve other people, you're one of the candidates that He's going to go pick to send you to take out a giant. But if we don't know how to serve each other, if it's all about me, it's all about... And listen, if it's just about Father's Vineyard, we've missed the mark. So we've got to be... So the question is, where are the Davids? I got one hand raised back there. I got two. Where are the Davids? Where are the Davids? Where are the people that has a heart to follow God? Where are they? Where are the Daniels and the where are the three Hebrew children? And you know, when the king said, "Hey, we're gonna, there's a consequence and it's gonna be hot, I'm telling you." So they said, "We don't have to go pray about it. We've already made our decision. We made our decision long ago. We will not bow to a false God." See, that it has to be something that's already in you. And if it's not in you, get it inside you and I. No more tossing. No more acting like children. No more wham. I remember, listen, this is a funny story. We had Benny McIntyre. How many of you remember Benny? Benny, we were eating one time and somebody blew a straw and that little sleeve of that straw hit him right here in the head. And he said, oh. And I don't know who else was with him, but... That whole day, we'd look at Benny and say, wah. Somebody hit me with a paper part of a straw. It was like, you know, so we can't be children. There's a call. We sang a song the other week that says, there's an army rising up to break the chains. So there's my question. Are we still going to be children? Bible said no longer children. But you're going to have to be equipped first. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to submit. You're going to have to submit to the truth. Your knee's going to have to bow to the very truth that's being told you, even when you don't like it. So we've got to be able to do that. So as a result, we're going to grow up, and as a result, we're not going to be children. We're not going to be tossed here and there. We're not going to be carried about with the trickery of men and with the deceitfulness of scheming. No more conning the church. But what he's asking for is who's going to humble themselves to serve? because that's where the David and worship. David was a worshiper and he was a servant. He went to take cheese and wine. Wound up hearing the defilement. And he said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? They're all crouched down. They've done dressed up and did their holler. It doesn't matter how much the church hollers. We have got to take action and oppose evil. But we've got to do it with love, right? Love is the qualifier. So do you hear the call to be the David? If that's you, stand up. If you hear the call, you hear the call to be the David. I hear it so loudly right now that I hear it so much right now. What did God declare David to be? A man, even in the midst of his failure, even in the worst, even in the failures that he had, what did God say? He's a man that's after my heart. That's the David. After his heart serves people. After his heart loves people. After his heart hears the call and sees the opposition and doesn't casually say, oh, man, he's big. No, we know he's big. But who's bigger? God's bigger. And when it came about, they wanted to do it man's way by putting Saul's armor on him. He was a teenager. He can't handle it. It's awkward. Why? It wasn't proven by him. What was proven by him? Worship and a slingshot and a javelin, the staff, the rod. That was proven by him. And the Bible says this, that part I love. It says, he. And when he went out, and the message from the giant got personal. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Got personal with David real quick. But you know what David did? This is what I love. The Bible says that he ran. He didn't walk up to the enemy. He charged. I mean full gallop. Why? Who'd he come in the name of? The Spirit of the living God. That's what you and I are going to have to do. We have to rise up, get out of the cave, begin to take what God has given us and go do what it is that God's given us to do and fight the very things that are on these papers. And that's just the beginning. I just hit just a little bit about what's going on. Listen, it's not pick the battles. Stop battling over things that do not matter. Pick the battles that matters. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, working at home, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offer. Embrace what God does for you. That's the best thing that you can do for him. Do not become so well adjusted to the culture that you just fit in without thinking. But fix yourself on God. And that's the call today. Are you excited? I am. I am. I'm very excited. You know, can any of you say, I don't know what to do? Because you're in a great place. He knows. That's the room we need to pray. Do you know one thing that astonished God in the Bible? He did not see anyone to intercede. The Bible said he was astonished that no one was there to intercede. Look it up. He was astonished. An all-knowing God. You know what he's looking for? See, intercessor is not just somebody that prays. That's where we miss it. Intercession is not just praying. Intercession is going to where the battle is. Intercession is going to the gap. Intercession is going to the rubble. Intercession is going to where it's tore up. so you can intercede. So that's who he's looking for. And that's one of the things we're going to be start doing on Saturday the 26th. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I need someone real quick for the kids, whoever's going to do that, Gina. Okay, well, she's not here. Father, thank you so much for your freedom. Thank you so much for the power of who you are, the power of your word, the power of the Spirit. Thank you, God, that you're moving in your people. You're building us up. You're energizing us to go out and do the very things that you want us to do. But, God, you want us to live it inside. And we ask you to continue to help us do that. Help us to answer the call of being a David, a Davidic generation, that it runs toward the enemy to take the things out that is holding God's people back. We love you. We thank you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Thank you, online people, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the service. Go in and look at the videos that we have for the children. You go on fathervineyard.org, and we have a video for children. So online, just watch those, and your children will just absolutely love it. Thank you so much. God bless you, Father's Vineyard. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.